I mix what I like.
This Second Childhood production is for the Killer Bees podcast and I mix what I like dot org.
I mix what I like.
All right, so joining us now is Dr. Anthony Montero, who has been a full-time, non-tenure track instructor in the African American Studies Department at Temple University for the past 9 years. But his impact and reach as an academic, as an activist, goes far beyond just that. And we wanted to have Dr. Montero on with us to talk a little bit about some of the recent goings-on with him at Temple University. But as I think we'll see in just a moment, that they extend far beyond that. What is happening to him extends far beyond just what is happening to him, and has a lot to say about power, academia, struggle, and liberation. So, Dr. Montero, welcome, and thank you for taking the time to join us.
Thank you very much, Jared.
So, if we could, let's just give people a brief historical overview of, or maybe start with what is going on, and then step back a little bit and give people some background as to how we got where we are.
Okay, first of all, I'm going into my 11th year at Temple, and what is going on presently is that in the middle of January, I received a letter from the dean that was dated January the 6th and informed me that my contract would not be renewed. And there was no reason given. She merely said that you should contact the chair of your department or the office manager to find out what's going on. I have not heard from either of them. The only explanation that I received was via the news media, in particular the Philadelphia Tribune, which is the African American paper here, that the department was moving in new and exciting directions. And often when that happens, she stated, people who are non-tenured are removed and new people brought in. And that's the explanation. However, I know, and the black community here in Philadelphia knows, that it goes much deeper than that. I challenged her authority over 2 years ago when she attempted to impose upon the department a white woman scholar as the chairman of the department. I and other members of the faculty moved to prevent that. And then in 2013, when we had to choose a permanent chair, once again, the dean wanted to force her choice upon us. I was in the forefront of opposing that. In fact, mobilizing not only students, but also, and this is decisive, the black community of Philadelphia to weigh in as a stakeholder in the whole process of what African American studies is. In so doing, the dean and her behavior towards African Americans generally, African American men in particular, had to be publicly aired. We trumped her and stopped her, and as a consequence, we got Malefe Asante as the chairman of the department. Her latest action was nothing less than a retaliatory firing, a get-back kind of action. The state of things now is that the African-American community, that is black labor, the faith-based community, youth and students, progressive DJs, philanthropic organizations, and so on, have begun to organize to oppose this firing, to call upon the president to overturn the actions of the dean, and that I be reinstated. That's where we are. We had a meeting and a press conference yesterday at the union headquarters of 1199 see the Hospital Workers Union, which, by the way, organizes the largest number of Temple employees of any of the unions there. We had at their headquarters this meeting, and over 250 people turned out in the middle of a working day. So we think we have some traction. We think that this is a cause that has sparked a struggle for justice within Philadelphia, and especially within Black Philadelphia.
Well, speaking of Black Philadelphia, this incident has led to there being some controversy and confusing behavior, at least in the mind, in from the views of some of us, from within the Black community in Philadelphia and the Black academic community in Philadelphia, Temple University in particular, obviously. Dr. Malefi Asante has been brought out into some public commentary. Glenn Ford at blackagendareport.com has gone so far as to say that Dr. Asante should be shunned and denounced as a betrayer for his lack of support of your reinstatement or your retention in the department that he is now chair of, which is, of course, connected to the struggle that you supported against the imposition of outside leadership to that department and supported the return to the chair position of that department of Dr. Asante. Many people know Malefi Asante or know of him or know of his work, but may be unfamiliar with or because of that work, then maybe be confused by his lack of support for your retention in this case. In fact, he has basically said he won't talk. He won't say much without his lawyer. He has refused interviews by a number of different folks attempting to get word from him. And his public statement says again that he will not talk without a lawyer, and that basically this is more or less par for the course, and no one should be concerned or see this as a concern, because, as he said, this is the norm, particularly for professors who are not tenured and who sign 1-year contracts. He said something to the effect that you signing a 1-year contract, not tenured in that contract, should not be, you know, confused or shocked at all by this decision. Could you say a little bit about that in particular, and maybe put that in the broader context of what it means to be in academia, what it means to take positions of political importance in academia, to struggle against, as you said a moment ago, structures of power, and how all of this falls into play?
You know, I think what you've laid out is very important to provide a context. However, I think we should make a distinction between the Black community and Black academia. They are not the same. However, at times they might come together. The Black community, especially the Black community in Philadelphia, is very communal. And that is to say, it, for the most part, functions and is held together on the basis of trust and loyalty, and not what you say so much as what you do. In other words, we judge people by what they do. In academia, people are not judged by what they do. They're not required to do much of anything, but by what they say. And in academia, disloyalty is the rule rather than the exception. That having been said, I did not come to Temple without tenure. I was invited a little over 10 years ago to join the faculty in African American Studies at Temple University by the then chair. I had already been tenured at the University of the Sciences. I was assured that when a tenure position opened up, and it was said that that would not be long, that I would be the first person in line for that position. That did not happen. I decided to wait, to work. I'd made an investment in the department and the students, both undergraduate and graduate. North Philadelphia is where Temple is. I am from North Philadelphia. I wanted to join the two communities. And when a tenure line position came open, now this was a kind of a step down because I already had tenure when I came there, I sought to apply for it. The dean wrote an email to the then chairman of the department saying that myself, Max Stanford, and Dr. Wonkior should not even assume that we were competitive to apply for it. So this whole question of I should accept my fate because I had signed a year-to-year contract, that is like blaming the victim. I was signing a year-to-year contract because the dean had blocked the possibility of my moving into a tenure position. But the real deal is that this is a retaliatory firing. It has nothing to do with a one-year contract or any other kind of contract. It's a retaliation, and we are fighting it as such. The community sees it that way. The support that I am receiving from the Black community is not out of the air. I am a Philadelphian. I have stood with the people of Philadelphia for all of my life. I have fought against the police repression of the Rizzo regime. I have stood side by side with the MOVE organization, with Mumi Abdul-Jamal. I'm a big part of the Black political independent movement. So I know a lot of the politicians and the elected officials. I'm a part of this community. And for them, an injury to me is an injury to the community. And that's the way we're going forward with it. Now, academics may not understand that, but the community does. And sometimes ordinary Black people have to teach academics how to be Black again.
Well, Dr. Anthony Montero, I want to, first of all, thank you very much for taking the time again to join us a little bit this afternoon, and also for all the work that you have done and will continue to do. It is hard to believe from those who have any, you know, working knowledge of your contribution to Philadelphia and beyond that this would be the case, even though we think we might know how academia and institutions of power actually work. I'll at least admit on my end to be a little bit shocked at some of the behavior of those involved, especially given your consistent support of them as individuals and of the broader struggle. It's hard to believe. It's unfortunate, but I thank you very much for joining us. And please do tell us where we. Please go ahead. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's not the end of the story. I mean, this is, I guess, for people of your generation, you have not yet been a part of great battles for justice. And hopefully you all will be drawn as into these battles and make your own contribution. Because see, what we are basically fighting against is not against Black academicians, for better or worse. What we're fighting against is the neoliberalization of the academy. That is to say, rather than these universities existing to educate and to propagate human values, they now become profit-making, gentrifying corporations. Now, I'm not alone in this. If you go to the site on Facebook, Justice for Dr. Anthony Montero, you will see a letter, a call for my reinstatement that's being signed. I think by now it's up to about 75 scholars from around the country, I think even from around the world, calling upon the president to overturn the dean's position. So it's not just the Black community versus Temple thing. It is internationally recognized and nationally respected academics and scholars who have joined this fight and are joining this fight. We're kind of at what we call a moment of truth, where the forces of justice and the forces of injustice confront each other. And everything depends on people taking the right position. You can't, I think, be indifferent about this. And even, as you say, you know, a bit surprised at the behaviors of some, each person will choose to be moral or immoral, to be indifferent or to take a stand. And so be it. History will decide this, and the struggle of the people decides history.
I mix what I like. This Second Childhood production is for the Killer Bees podcast, and I mix what I like.org.